Hi, I'm Delene Allen, the networking queen. I love to connect people. There is nothing more wonderful than the human connection, the connection that can lead to incredible things, to love, to business, to make our lives just so much richer, meeting and connecting on a deeper level than, hi, here's my business card. But making those human connections that can take you to magical places. Stay tuned for Network Equals Net Worth. I want to hear your stories. I want to share your stories. Today, it's Delene Allen. You're listening to Network Equals Net Worth, my podcast. Everybody's got a story, and I'd love to hear yours. We have done a podcast recently with this amazing woman, but we had so much fun, I wanted to do another episode. This is Tammy Morris, certified professional electrologist from Razor-Free Electrolysis, the electrologist who traded the West Coast vibes of BC for the East Coast charm of Nova Scotia. Originally a legislative policy analyst with the government, the universe kept trying to steer her towards a career as an electrologist, but Tammy was a little bit hard-headed. When she first moved to Nova Scotia, she took on a new role with the government. However, the universe had a different plan, one that involved perfecting the art of zapping away not only unwanted hair, but also skin imperfections. She finally listened, and the rest is history. Tammy delivers personalized treatments tailored to her clients' individual needs and goals. Sessions take place in a private, relaxing, and professional setting in her office by a lake. Believe it or not, Tammy started as an electrolysis client, a testament to the belief that the best electrologists are ones who were clients themselves. Now, let me tell you, Tammy, you're all going to want to listen to her first podcast. But what I want to speak to Tammy and hear back from her today, folks, is if anybody's from Atlantic Canada, we're a clicky little place. And this woman has some connections here. But of course, she lived on the West Coast. And some people might say that's a come from afar. But in terms of your feet hit the ground and you were meeting people the minute you got here, didn't you, Tammy?
Oh, I did. I did. I did live in Nova Scotia back in the late 80s for a whopping 18 months down in the valley. And my sister is still there. She never moved away. I was the one who moved, I say, back home. I was born in Victoria, but I wasn't raised there. But that's where I ended up back. So when I moved back here, I didn't know anybody except for my sister in the valley. And that's, you know, an hour and a half away. So, yeah.
So I bet you met your neighbors, you met your realtor, you met all of those other individuals. And Tammy, are you the kind of person who in a grocery lineup can start up a conversation?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I was talking with somebody yesterday and it really resonated with me. It was really quite funny. She said that her dad had never gotten frustrated when he was in the lineup. And she was the same way. She said, because what I do is I can be in a bank lineup for 20 minutes and I'll start up a conversation with somebody ahead of me, somebody behind me. And I thought, that's me.
Well, but here's the thing. I could stand in that same lineup and I'll smile at somebody. And if they make eye contact and smile back, I'm praying, dear Lord, let them talk first. Because if they can talk first, then I could keep on talking. But to be able to be courageous enough to be able to do that is pretty friggin' amazing. Now, have you got a quick story? I know I'm putting you on the spot here, of some great connection you made because you were in a lineup.
I was in a lineup. No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say is when I was at the Kentville Business Show or the home show, when you and I met,
yep.
One thing I do when I go to any kind of show, whether a craft fair, a home show, a trade show, whatever, I always walk right down the center and I avoid the eyes of the people behind the table because I don't want them to feel obligated to speak to me or to sell to me when I'm not interested in the product. And when I walked by your table, I was like, B&I, what is that? And I kind of looked past you and I saw some brochures, but I thought, I don't know what BNI is. Everything else, I can sort of tell what it is. And I went up and I started talking to you. And the rest is history. We just started connecting. And, I always look at you, and I always, when I talk about you, Daylene, I always say she's a master connector. So you were the person that I would say I had that impromptu conversation with, and it went somewhere.
Exactly. And it's those little ones that make a difference. Now, to all of you folks out here, if you've never tried electrolysis, I'm going to tell you right now that that is the one thing. If you do nothing else in your life, electrolysis. I paid for laser hair removal and it still kept coming back. Electrolysis is the only thing, really, Tammy. It's permanent, isn't it?
Yeah, so now in Canada, the government hasn't classified laser or electrolysis. So there is no ramifications if somebody claims that laser is permanent. In the US, the FDA, the Food and Drug Association, the American Medical Association, and the Therapeutic Goods Association in 1999 classified laser as permanent hair reduction. Now, this is important because the word reduction in there, the way electrolysis works is we use electricity, just a mild current, kind of like sticking your tongue on a 9-volt battery. And I'm dating myself, I know that. But if you stick your tongue on a 9-volt battery, you get a little zing. And that's sort of what it's like. So for some people, it's barely noticeable. And other people, it's a little stronger. Most people fall in between. And that little bit of current destroys the cells that are responsible for hair growth. So there's the papilla, the dermal papilla, the bulb, the bulge, and there are stem cells. Those can all grow hair. Now, with laser needs a dark color to be to attract it. So your hair has to have tint to it, a darker tint, not blonde. It also has to have a dark bulb. Now, the issue is, and in 2007, the FDA actually issued a bulletin that said, because of how needle epilators work, and don't be scared of the word needle because we don't use a needle, but that is the term they use. Electrolysis is the only method that uses a method. Sorry, I'm not quoting it precisely, and I apologize, but the needle epilator is the only method that destroys the dermal papilla. So the dermal papilla is the major part of the follicle responsible for hair growth. So that is why it says only electrologists can advertise permanent hair removal. So in the US, if somebody who's not an electrologist claims permanent hair removal, they can be shut down and they can be fined. In Canada, that isn't the case. So in addition, so not just the dermal papilla, but there's the other things that I spoke about, the other components, the bulb, the bulge, the dermal papilla, and the stem cells. Stem cells are transparent. So the laser cannot be attracted to those stem cells. So if those stem cells are not destroyed, that follicle can still grow another hair. With electrolysis, we can destroy all of the cells because we don't re require light or dark to do it. We use electricity.
Exactly. Well, and here's the other thing. When I think of how many times that I paid money to have my eyebrows waxed or the corners of my mouth or, the hair on my chinny chin chin. But what I love about your social media post is, and only because my husband said the other day, can you do something with the hair on my ear? And it was maybe only because his hair was longer. I couldn't see his ear. It was like, that is so gross. And here's the thing, it's one thing, for, I don't care what gender you classify yourself as, we all have unwanted hair in places,
Yes.
right? And so, to get rid of some of those things like nasal hair, ear hair, we're not talking about a huge commitment of time. Consistent, I believe, is the most important, as with many things. So do you want to speak about some of those little annoying areas?
Right. So you touched right on it. It doesn't matter what gender you are. Our bodies produce hormones. And if our hormones are out of balance in any way, shape, or form, we're going to grow hair in places we don't want to. And not even so much if our hormones are out of balance. I mean, just because of our genders, just because of the way biology works, we're going to grow hair everywhere. That is what our body does, except for the palms of our hand and the soles of our seat, soles of our feet. Every other inch of your body has follicles that can produce hair. So, if you are a person who has hair growing out of their ears, you get to a certain age. And people who are born with an XY chromosome, they will get that fuzz growing out of their ears, the coarse hairs growing out of their ears. Or, you know what? Even people who are born with the XX chromosome. So I've worked on so many women, and I'm going to go back to gender here, saying women, because it's just, while I am very inclusive, it is easier for the person listening to the podcast to hear men and women sometimes. So when we're talking about the nose, right around just on the outer bit of your nose, how many women have really dark, dark, coarse hairs growing out of there? Do we want that? No, thank you very much. And even men, they don't want it. So it doesn't matter if you're XY or XX, that hair growing around your nose as you get older and it's coming out coarse, it makes you look old. And nobody feels that age. And again, the ears as well. As you get to a certain age, that hair starts growing out of your ears. Now, I cannot go inside your nose. So those hairs are there for a reason. They are to filter out dust and particles so they don't go into your lungs. Same with the ear canals. I cannot work in your ear canals, but I can work outside of the ear canals. So those are a couple of the more awkward areas. But I don't just do hair removal. And that's where we're going to go to today, right?
Exactly. So, talk about maybe give us a laundry list of all of the things, other things that you do, Tammy, because it's pretty darn exciting.
Well, I will tell you, it was quite a neat little experience this morning. I was looking for an organizer to put in the garage to organize our recycling. And I drove out to Hammond's Plains to pick up something off Marketplace. And when I went into the woman's house, I said, "Hey, I'm trying to, make some connections and find out where I can leave information out here so that people know about my electrolysis business." And I said, "I don't just do permanent hair removal. I do skin imperfections." And she looked at me and she kind of was a little bit questioning. So I took that as an opening to say a little bit more. And I said, "So I can use electrolysis to remove things like skin tags, spider veins, warts, moles, milia, keratoses, cherry points, also known as ruby points, also known as blood spots, and a few other things." And she looked at me and she said, "Really? My husband has a skin tag." And it's sort of going back to that question you asked earlier, when did a conversation just lead to, right? And this is one of those things. When you are a business, you have to take every opportunity to share information about your business. You can tell by a person's body language if they're interested or not. If that woman had not had sort of given me that glazed over look, kind of, I would have read that and like, okay. But then we had this conversation. She is now sending me links or sending me information on different places that I can contact in Hammond's Plains, which I think is really cool. But yeah, so,
If you don't ask, you don't get.
right? And no is just an answer. It's nothing personal. So yeah, so I use electrolysis. So I use the same machine, just a different setting. I still use sterile disposable probes, and I treat skin imperfections that are on the upper skin level. So my work is non-invasive. I don't cut into the skin. I'm using heat to coagulate the tissues on the skin surface.
Now, uneven skin tone. And what about back of hands for dark colors?
Right. So with dark, dark skin, I do have to be a lot more careful because of the risk of hyperpigmentation. But when I'm working on the surface of the skin, I'm not working down in that level that creates the scar tissue. So on the surface of the skin, so skin tags are like benign flaps of skin. They're usually darker in color, but not always. Sometimes they're flesh tone. They're usually quite bumpy. Some of them have a neck, so you can actually lift them up and they have this little column. And others are just a solid bump, but they're still bumpy. Or they can be completely, I don't want to say completely flat because that gives the illusion that they're smooth, but they're not. Again, they've got a texture, a rough texture. So again, it's on the surface of the skin. Spider veins. Now, this one is a bit of a tricky one because our language. People hear spider veins and they think the legs, the veins in their legs, right? And I'm guilty of that. When I first looked into taking this training, I was so excited because I know somebody in my family who I love and adore struggles with what we've always called spider veins on her legs. And when I got to my course, I said to the instructor, "Now I can do this for a Christmas gift." And they're like, "No, you can't. Those are venous." So because they're a vein and they're in the lower part of our body, so there's a lot more pressure. Electrolysis is not as effective on those, so we don't do them. Some electrologists I've read down in the States do, but they don't have good success. So I'm not going to waste anybody's time and money, and I'm not going to take the risk of them being unhappy. But on our face, us, those of us of, I want to say Nordic descent, we're very pale, or what is that? Irish, Black Irish people, we they with the very fit. I can be Casper's cousin. Like I'm so white, right? But we get these little broken capillaries in our face. They're also called threaded veins. Is another term for them. So spider veins. The ones in the legs are actually called varicose veins. So with electrolysis, I'm able to take that little bit of current and just run it along the line. And it collapses the vein. And so that's how that spider vein disappears. Now, your body can create more spider veins, right? But the one that I've treated is gone. It will actually, once the skin is healed up, and it does, any kind of treatment that I do, there's always a bit of a healing time. And so people have to be prepared for that because obviously, if you're doing something to the skin, it's going to mark for a little while, but then it will heal up. And I say mark. Like with a skin tag, once I remove it, it crusts over, it gets a scab, and then it heals up. The scab falls off. The color of the skin is a little bit different for a little while, just like if you hurt yourself and you cut yourself, this it would be a little bit pinker, but then it changes back to the normal skin color. And that's just what it's like for spider veins and skin tags and moles and milia and all of that.
So I'm just thinking right now when you stop and think about how much concealer people use on areas of their face and thinking, imagine if you didn't have those little spider veins or whatever you've called them, how much money and time you'd save by not having to use a concealer, right?
Well, that's it. When I first opened up, I had two women who came to me who they have been some of my biggest advertisers because every time they see a post of mine about spider veins, they are sharing it with the world because they had such extensive spider veins on their cheeks. And it took several sessions because there were so many. And it is a time process, right? So I don't just run a wand over and you're done. I have to follow each spider vein. And one of them actually sells makeup. She does an MLM product line. And she said, "I did not realize, Tammy, how much I was self-conscious about them until they were gone." She goes, "Now I go without wearing makeup." And that makes my heart just so warm because, right? It's so exciting. And same there again, another woman, the same thing. When you are so aware of blemish, and I say blemishes because we're our own worst critics, right? Or when people weaponize things. So I had another client she was a young woman, and she messaged me and she said, "Tammy, I've got a mole on my face. Can you remove it?" And I said, "With a doctor's note." It's the only thing that I need a doctor's note for. But with that one, I need a doctor's note. She said, "My friends make fun of me." And because it looked like a witch's mole. And I for right away I said, well, you need new friends.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best answer, but I get so annoyed when people are like that. So anyway, when she came in, it turned out it was her ex-partner who would use that in when they were having a disagreement, and he would make fun
Oh.
of it, which make right? Like, isn't that just horrible? Anyway,
Horrible.
when I removed that mole, she sat there on my table and just she looked at herself in the mirror and she just started crying because she was so happy it was gone. But for the most part, it's our own selves that are being that critic to ourselves, right? So
Totally.
things that we think stand out to everybody probably don't,
Right.
but they bug us. And that's what I'm here is to help my clients look at themselves without judging themselves so harshly.
When you think about some of the stories that you just shared, again, I've always had rosacea problem, perioral dermatitis rosacea, and so many products irritate it. And I know that with, because I've had some electrolysis done, right, that once I got rid of that redness on my cheeks, that redness around my nose, and in fact, I will remember once I didn't always wear makeup, but I met ran into a guy I went to high school with downtown Halifax years ago. Right. And at that time I was not doing anything to take care of my skin. He said, "Hey, Delene, how you doing? Still got that red nose?" And you kind of go, "Okay, yeah, I did." And
That's
I know, but he didn't mean it. It broke my heart, but he really, he wasn't being unkind. He was a nice guy. "Hey, I still got your red nose." Well,
yeah.
didn't I run into him after I started to take care of my skin? Did those little things that added to my confidence. And he ran into me and he said, "Oh my God, you look so fabulous. No red nose." And you kind of go, "Don't say that again, you little jerk." And I'm
Right.
like,
And that's the thing is a lot of people who think they have rosacea because they've got those pink cheeks, they actually have spider veins that have broken so much that it's made their cheeks red. And when I treat those spider veins, that rosacea goes away.
exactly.
Yeah, I had another client the other just recently, and she came in for an area on her cheek that was really bothering her, that was a darker color than the rest of her skin. And that was something she said to me was that, even when I wear makeup or if I don't wear makeup, people will point at it and say, my face is dirty. And people don't mean it to be mean,
But you have
but
a spot on your face, yeah.
right? People think they're being helpful, but that makes her feel bad
Yeah.
and self-conscious. And so, yeah, we were able to work on that as well. So,
So literally, let's say if you look at the back of my hand, you can't see it here, but let's say all of those, what people fondly refer to as age marks, you can work on those as well, Tammy.
I can. So now, liver spots, age spots, that's what we're talking about. Those are the one thing that we don't have 100% success rate with. So what can happen is that the electrolysis treatment will, it's called it the so the course that I took is called electrocoagulation. When doctors do this procedure in the office, it's called thermocoagulation. And doctors didn't like electrologists using that same term because it was a medical term. So it was changed to electrocoagulation years ago. But then when you're talking on social media and you're saying, oh, I do electrocoagulation, that means nothing to anybody. So what we've started doing is calling it advanced electrolysis. So all three words, same procedure. Now, with advanced electrolysis, what I would do is I would treat that spot because I'm just removing that top layer of the skin, which is the pigmented area, the sun damaged area. What can happen is it may just lighten up and it might need a second treatment. So, and then it may lighten up more, it may not lighten up anymore. So, it's the one treatment that I am always very, very upfront saying, I can't say that this one won't come back, but it may lighten.
But even knowing that you could lighten with something that was non-invasive, that, again, quick, easy. And now another thing, just with different healthcare programs and sometimes health spending accounts that companies do, Do many insurance companies actually cover any of these treatments, Tammy?
So I was really excited because, as the wife of a retired military member, Canada Life took over the benefits for the federal government, for the military. And they did have in their scope, they did cover electrolysis. And then I was telling my clients, you just tell me what you need and I will supply that to you. I will go back, I will get all of your receipts from, your first treatment. And that way you can, apply for that. Then they went in and said, they changed the verbiage to electrolysis done by a doctor. I'm sorry, what doctor is going to go and give up a $300,000 a year gig to make the wage of an electrolysis? Now, don't get me wrong, electrologists can make a decent income, but they're not going to give up a $300,000 gig to do electrolysis. So
Yeah.
it's kind of like, oh, yes, we're giving you this over here, but not really. So now that's just with the federal government, with the military. With other programs, I'm not sure. So it is up to each client to check with their extended benefits provider. They may be able to claim electrolysis, whether it's for permanent hair removal. I'm not sure about the skin imperfections, but they may still be able to claim it for permanent hair removal.
Excellent. Excellent. So, got any other clients' stories? I know certainly I see so many people, and sometimes you're timid to not speak to somebody because you know that those blood vessels that are so close to the surface are a constant source of discomfort for a person. Even, again, sunburns and windburn and things like that. So, and I think, again, I've mentioned to a couple of people that have asked me, and they'll say, but wouldn't that aggravate my skin more? But when you really are, you said the blood vessel, you used a term, the blood vessel disappeared or it
The capillaries.
capillaries,
Yes.
that then you actually get a better layer of skin on top, right?
You do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the broken capillaries, all that's happening is the blood that's supposed to be going through the capillaries is leaching out into the skin around you. So when you destroy, when you collapse that capillary, when you coagulate it, when you destroy it, then the body creates new capillaries to feed your skin and to carry the hormones and the water which nourishes you, which hydrates your skin. So removing these skin imperfections actually does make your skin smoother and more cohesive in its coloring.
Exactly.
It's the same with the permanent hair removal. So people who are dealing with razor burn, they're shaving and they constantly get that irritation. Or the razor bumps. Well, what happens every time they rake a razor over? It's irritating the skin, right? And it's burning, it's uncomfortable. And so when we remove that hair permanently, they're not having to do that anymore. So what happens? Now the skin is soft and it's smooth and it's not red, it's not irritated. With people who are struggling with hormone imbalances, and they have a lot of acne on their face, right in there, that where that male pattern hair growth happens along their chin, along their neck, along their sideburns, and they get all of that acne, their upper lip. Well, if that hair isn't growing there, then they're not having that acne. So again, your skin is smooth and it's soft and it's supple, and the color is not all red and inflamed.
All of those things. So when we hear the word electrolysis, folks, it's a whole lot more. Now, not everybody has all of the training that Tammy does, but let's say it's worth having a conversation. Her contact information will be in there. And please also let's talk about the fluid gender people today so that you are willing to work on.
All bits on all bodies. So it's really important. And I just sort of want to touch on this. When you are looking for electrolysis, It's really important to ask your electrologist what their training is. And I will speak from my lived experience here. Because of moving so much in the last 4 years, when we're moving through the chaos of the last 3 years, I've had five different electrologists. The first one retired, a student took over his practice. I wasn't happy with, it wasn't so much that I wasn't happy with her work, but she was charging just as much as almost as much as him to do a third of the work. So I found another one. And I was so happy with that electrologist. Then I moved out to Nova Scotia and everything was shut down. And so when I did find another electrologist, because there's not a lot around, I went to them for a year and it was expensive tweezing. And what I found out was, because I didn't ask the question, I didn't know to ask, she had only taken about 2 weeks worth of training in an esthetician course for electrolysis. And so it's all well and good to learn how to do an insertion, but that doesn't mean you know your machine. That doesn't mean you understand the process of electrolysis. So it's really important when you are looking for an electrologist to make sure that they have training and not just 2 weeks of training in an esthetician course. So my training was 320 hours. So that was 2 months of theory and 2 months of practical, meaning hands-on practicing on people. And after that, I went further and I took my exam in front of a board from the Canadian Federation of Professional Electrologists Association. So that's how I got my CPE designation, which is the highest you can get as an electrologist. That means you have the highest training, that you've sat before the board, that you've passed their exams, that you've done the hands-on exam as well in front of them. So, what I would suggest is if you're looking for an electrologist, look at the Atlantic Association of Professional Electrologists website and look for a certified professional electrologist in your area. If you're not in my area and can't come see me, then definitely look for one of them in your area because you want to make sure that they know what they're doing. One of the things that I learned recently, because electrolysis is not regulated, neither is laser, it came to my attention about a laser technician, not a laser technician, a hairstylist in the Bedford area who has bought a laser machine. So keep in mind, a laser machine is a medical grade appliance and it can do a lot of damage. And this person has had less than 2 hours training on their machine. They've never taken a laser course. They just have 2 hours training on their machine. And this is the thing that's really important is you can go to get laser, if you feel that laser is the right choice for you, just make sure that they have an extensive laser course. I've had two clients in the last 2 months who have come to me who have been significantly burned because the laser technician that they had didn't use the right settings. One was a very dark-skinned woman who was not eligible for laser because her skin is too dark. And the other was a very pale person who will just say that there's scarring involved.
Well, but same thing, what you've said, when there's low contrast. So if you're
Yes.
very fair skin, or very dark with very dark hair, there's no contrast. And that's where I believe your electrolysis is really the magic thing. So again, with all of the other things, do you offer a free consultation if a person wants to say, okay, what could you do to my face, i.e., hair, or any of these other amazing. I mean, just think a smoother, clearer complexion. Like,
Right. So, yeah, so laser, if there's melanin, it's going to be attracted. So, the darker the hair, the more it's going to be attracted. Same with the darker the skin, which is why it can't be used on dark skinned people. Electrolysis does not have that limitation. So, electrolysis, it doesn't matter how pale you are or how dark you are. It does not matter how pale your hair is. So, if you have white, gray, blonde, or red hair, it will work for you. Not so much laser. Laser does not work on white, gray, red, or blonde hair. So, with Electrolysis, yes, I offer a free consultation with hair removal. Your first appointment is generally an hour and a half. And the reason I have it that long is because your consultation is free. And then if you want to go for a treatment, if you want to continue for a treatment, then I have enough time for you to have a treatment afterwards. This way you're not wasting your time driving back and forth twice to see me.
Right. Yeah, same thing, but it's like you go through what services you offer,
Yeah.
and yeah, wonderful. So,
So during the consultation, sorry, for permanent hair removal, I explain the whole process of hair growth cycle, the treatment schedule, the biology of hair, and what to expect before your what to how to prepare for a treatment, what to expect during a treatment, and what to expect after a treatment. Now, with the consultation for skin imperfections, it's not nearly as long because it's just a really quick 5-minute explanation of what to expect during the treatment and then how to take care of the treatment area after your treatment.
excellent. And so again, all genders are welcome here. All bits on all bodies are welcome here. So, Tammy, you also gave us some great tips on networking. You're listening to Delene Allen. My podcast is Network Equals Net Worth. And let me tell you, if you have not tried electrolysis or any of Tammy's services, I highly recommend her. It has been a pleasure, Tammy, as always, chatting with you. Any last minute things you'd like to share before we?
Sure. One of the questions that I get hit up with the most is electrolysis painful? So I'm going to tell you, I have people who fall asleep on my chair and I have people who need numbing cream. 95% of my clients are in between that. So is it painful? It really is how pain is perceived by your body. Most of the time, it feels like a bit of heat, a little bit of tingle. But if you've ever had waxing, if you've ever had a tattoo, if you've ever had any sort of any cosmetic procedure, laser can be quite spicy, I hear, well, in my experience as well. So you have to look at the end result. Is it going to be worth it to you?
To get rid of that hair on my chinny chin chin, you bet it is. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening. What'd you like best about today's conversations and the connections that lead to miraculous outcomes? Leave a review. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to share your story too. So why not touch base with Delene Allen on Instagram, and we'll keep the conversations going.